Well, I'd like to start out by thanking everybody that came tonight. I don't preach very often, but when I do, I get excited. As I was preparing the sermon, as you all are well aware of, I work about 70 hours a week, close to that. And so I was really praying and asking the Lord. I was like, "Lord, what do you want me to preach this Thursday night?" And I was just praying and praying. And so I was thinking when I was preparing it, I was thought about a verse and it came to my mind, and I was contemplating why God decides to use us and why He wants to take something that is broken and make it new and make it worthy for the Master's use. And the verse in Psalms chapter 8, which is our text tonight, Psalms 8, we're going to be reading verses 1 through 9. But I thought of the verse in verse 4 that says, "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" So my title tonight is, "What is man?" And I hope by the end of the sermon that you will be able to discern or understand what the question we're asking, that the psalmist is asking. But let's get right into it. Verse 1 of Psalms chapter 8 says, "O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who hast set thy glory above the heavens? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth." Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this wonderful day that you've given us, Lord. We thank you that we're able to meet here tonight. Lord, I pray that you would use me for your honor and glory. I'm just a servant, Lord, and I just want to be used. I want to be filled with your Spirit. I want you to speak to people tonight. Lord, I know I can't teach these people anything. Only thou canst teach people. Lord, and we pray that your Holy Spirit would be with us tonight. I pray that you'd guide us by your truth, that it would lead us into truth, Lord, and that I would convey what I'm trying to and what you've shown me to the people tonight. Lord, we pray for Pastor. Lord, give him a refresher. Lord, help him to be encouraged, strengthened. And Lord, just help him to grow closer to you through this vacation, Lord, and that he would be come back and just be filled, Lord, and just encourage him. And Lord, we appreciate everything that he does. And we thank you for everybody that came tonight. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So my first point tonight is, when I consider. So the psalmist here starts out and he says, "O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth." And how he's saying, you know, the Lord, he's excellent. You know, and when we start thinking about the things the Lord does in our lives, I hope we would come to the mindset of, wow, how excellent is the Lord. You know, we came here tonight, we were safe. We didn't get in a car wreck. We didn't have a flat tire. I mean, there's so many things in our lives that we neglect the Lord and we fail to thank him for. So the psalmist starts out saying, hey, you know, let's realize who our God is, who we're talking about here. You know, and what's interesting is he ends the chapter with this almost this, the exact same verse in verse 9, except for he leaves out the last part. And he says, "O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth." Okay, and then I'm not really going to go into that much, but I'd like us to focus on verse 3 for point number 1. And the psalmist is saying, "When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained." So he's saying, when I consider, well, what does consider mean? Consider is a verb intransitive, to think seriously, maturely, or carefully, to reflect. So if you would, I was reading through Barnes' notes, and he kind of gave an insert of maybe the psalmist was, you know, on his bed looking up at the skies, and he was looking at like the moons and the planets, and or, you know, and of course that's just guesswork here, but the principle is here that he is considering something, he's thinking about it, he's to think seriously, maturely, or carefully. He's pondering these thoughts of, you know, look at the creation. Look at the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork, is what the Bible tells us in the book of Psalms also. So he's considering the creation, if you would, and he's like, you know, I can't believe this. God makes the stars, and the Bible says every star differeth in glory. It's not the same star. You look at our sun, and it's not the same sun. And you look at, you know, there's another star called Betelgeuse that we learned about in when I was in school. And there's just so many different stars. There's blue stars. There's red stars. There's all sorts of different stars. And, you know, the psalmist is just looking at these stars and he's like, wow. I mean, have you ever at night when you've been camping or something, you're sleeping or you're just out at night and it's pitch black in the forest and you just look up at the stars and you're like, wow. It's like somebody just took a bunch of dots and poked a hole in a paper sheet and just put it in front of the light, and there's just all these dots all over the place. And so, you know, and this is what the psalmist, I think, is trying to convey to us. He's like, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. And so I think tonight we need to consider some things that God has done for us. We need to consider salvation. You know, we oftentimes, I mean, people in their lives, they get so used to being a Christian and being saved that they often forget, well where they came from or where they started out. They don't consider, well, I was a sinner once too. And so, like, when I witness to my coworkers and I try to tell them about Jesus, I have to keep in mind that I too can be just as wicked. You know, and Paul says, by the grace of God, there go I. So when we witness to people, we need to remember where we came from. We need to consider, we need to think seriously and how far that we've come spiritually and remember that. And so when I try to witness to people or my coworkers, I try to remember, you know, everybody is a sinner, and this is what I've told them before. I'm like, the only difference between me and you is that I'm born again. That doesn't mean I don't sin. That doesn't mean I can't fall into sin. That doesn't mean I don't struggle with things. And so, water break, time's up. So I struggle, and I tell them that this is kind of a rabbit trail, but I think a lot of Christians aren't very transparent with lost people. We try to come to church and we act like, well, because I come to church and because I do this and because I read my Bible, somehow that I'm more spiritual or better than other people. We're not better than anybody. The only reason we're good is by the grace of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. What is that verse saying? What's the context? Without Christ, you aren't righteous. Without Christ, you're nothing, as the book of John tells us. So it says, for without me, ye can do nothing. So we need to consider where we came from, where we started out. For me, it was 12 years old. I was just at a camp meeting, and I've been there all week. It was, I think, the fifth day, and I think it was Mr. Heineke was preaching about creation. And at the end of the service, he gave an invitation, and I knew I grew up in church, and I knew that I was a sinner, and I needed Jesus Christ, and so I was afraid. I didn't want to go to hell, and so I went forward, and I kneeled at the altar, and I was like, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. Please save me, you know. And I think that's something we need to consider. And secondly, I think we need to consider what God has done. Not only salvation, but we need to consider what God has done in our lives, how he's changed us. In 1 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So we need to consider what he's done and what he's doing. So, I mean, I praise the Lord, I'm not the same person I was 5 years ago. Praise the Lord, I wasn't the same person I was 18. I mean, when I was 18 or when I was 19. The Lord is constantly transforming us and he's making us new. And I know if God can create the stars and he can create the moons, it's not too hard for him to try to form me into what he should be, to what I should be. Sorry. So could we turn over to Ecclesiastes chapter 7? So as I was studying this, I wanted to make sure that the same word consider that is used in Psalms 8:3 is the same word that is used in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. Because if you do a little Bible study, and I was using ESORD, so the definition was 7, I think it was Hebrew 7300. So, and I compared the two words consider because there's a couple types of different consider in the Bible. So it's important to use them contextually, and I'm sure the kids aren't going to know what that is, but use it contextually within the aspect of what the definition actually means. Because if you take it, and I'm sure everybody here already knows this, but if you take something and try to shove your narrative into it, that's not what the Bible is saying. So in Ecclesiastes 7, 13 and 14, it says, consider the work of God, for who can make that straight which he hath made crooked? In the day of prosperity be joyful, but in the day of adversity consider. God also has set the one over against the other to the end that man should find nothing after him. So he starts in verse 13, consider the work of God. And we know the theme of Ecclesiastes is all is vanity, as I believe he mentions either in the beginning or the end of the chapter. But vanities of vanities, all is vanity. And it's written by, I believe, the Song of King Solomon about his life after he experienced all these things and riches and everything. And so he says here, consider the work of God. What's the work of God? Creation. I would say creation is the work of God, the things that he's created. So back to our point is, we need to, and back to Psalms 8, we need to focus on this, consider, and this is what I believe, the reason I'm stressing this first point is because in order to properly understand point two, we need to understand point one is we need to consider and remember who God is first. And then we can properly answer the question in verse 2, which says, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. So he says, he asks the question, what is man that thou art mindful of him? You know, what causes God to look down, or what caused God to make man and put him above everything that he created? You know, when I consider what kind of person I am and the things that I struggle with and the sins that I do, and I don't understand it sometimes why God would say, I choose you, or I choose to save you. I'm not saying I believe in predestination or anything. I'm just saying God saved me, but I don't know why he saved me. And my goal through life, and it should be every Christian's goal, is to, what does God want me to do? What's the will of God for my life? What is God, what would thou have me to do, Lord, as Paul said in Acts, you know, on the road to Damascus? So, I'm going to read an insert from Barnes Notes, verse 70. I think this was really good, so I wanted to share this with you. It says, what is man? What claim has one so weak and frail and short-lived to be remembered by thee? What is there in man that entitles him to so much notice? Why has God conferred on him so signal honor? Why has he placed him over the works of his hands? Why has he made so many arrangements for his comfort? Why has he done so much to save him? Is he so insignificant? His life is so much like a vapor? He soon disappears. He is so sinful and polluted that the question may well be asked, why such honor has been conferred on him, and why such a dominion over the world has been given him? And I think we need to ask ourselves why. And when we're going through things in life, I don't think it's wrong, and as Pastor often says, I don't think it's wrong to ask God why. I think there's a why, like I want to learn, or why God, you know, an angry why of, well, why are you letting this happen to me? What did I do that was wrong? And so we need to, and I think we should ask ourselves too, and I just took the word what is man, but it's a continued thought. It's what is man that thou art mindful of him? You know, what causes God to think on us? What caused God to look down from heaven and say, well, I know they sin all the time, but I'm going to send my son to save them? And I don't understand why. I don't understand why God loves me. And oftentimes when I'm talking to Holly, I'll say, why does God decide to use me? Why does God decide to use Brother Fred? Or why does God decide to use anybody in here? I don't know. I know who, and this is, and the thing is, I know who I am. I don't know who Fred is. I don't know who thou art, or Miss Reynolds, or Mom. All I know is me. I know what I am. I know what I struggle with. I know when I sin. I know me. And so I can, if I could be transparent with you tonight, me, honestly, I don't think I deserve saving. If I look at my life and I look at the mistakes I made and the same mistakes and same sins I repeat over and over and over and over, I'd say, I mean, if I was God, I'd say, I'm not saving that guy. He keeps failing. But God looks down and says, hey, you know, that's what grace is for. You know, when we fall down, and then God says, okay, yeah, you fall down, get back up. You know, don't sit there in the miry clay. He took my feet from the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock, is what the psalmist says. So we need to, and I just lost my train of thought. We need to remember what we are. What is man? How sinful man is. And then, Psalms 144, 1 through 4, if we could turn there. Psalms 144. Psalms 144, 1 through 4 says, blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. My goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him? Or the son of man that thou makest account of him? Man is like to vanity. His days are as a shadow that passeth away. So in this passage, verse 3, it's more of a statement because he uses an exclamation mark. He's not asking a question here. I think maybe he might have learned a little bit from Psalms 8 to 144, but that's, of course, my opinion. That's not what the Bible's teaching. But he says, Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him? You know, it's an exclamation point. It's a statement. He's saying, you know, why does God take knowledge of him? Why does God hear my prayers? Why does God cater to me? It's like having a waiter at a thing. He's like, hey, how can I help you today? You know, what can I get you? Can I get you some water? Can I get you? And with the Israelites, what did he do? Every single day, he brought manna down from heaven. He told them, and then he'd say, go to the rock, and told Moses, ask from the rock. Don't hit the rock. You know, and the thing is, it's interesting because I'm not saying God is my waiter. That's disrespectful, and that's not right. I'm just saying, as an analogy, it's almost every time I need something, who do we go to first? Usually other people. We say, well, I've been having this problem at work, and this coworker keeps nagging me. Instead of saying, okay, God, you know, I'm having this problem today. You know, and it's our nature to turn to other people instead of turn to God. So, man is like unto vanity. His days are a shadow that passeth away. Our life is very short. Our life is short-lived. In James chapter 4, it says, even as a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then passeth away. So our life, you know, even, and that is what's so mind-boggling about this, and this is why I think the Lord wanted me to preach this tonight, it blows my mind that God would say, okay, I'm going to save this guy, you know, and I'm sure my dad would agree, you know, when the way he was when he was 19, I'm sure he asked the question, why? You know, why God? The reason I ask that is not because I don't think that God doesn't want to use me. It's more of a, why do you use me, God? You know, isn't there somebody else that is better? I'm not making the excuse that Moses makes in Exodus where he says, I'm not eloquent, or, you know, I'm of a slow tongue or anything. I'm asking an honest question of, why does God choose to use us? You know, what does he see? And that's what's interesting about God is this is how I try to see the lost people is this person, they might be wicked and they might have sin, but I know that if Jesus gets a hold of their life, they can be a completely different person. God can turn that life around and what somebody who might have been a heroin addict is now going to church and leading song leading or something else. And so God is a God that changes things. And so lastly, we can ask ourselves, the why, and this is the answer to, I believe, verse 2, and in Psalms 8, Psalms chapter 8, we'll turn back over there. Psalms 8, verse 9, says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. And I find it interesting that he ends the chapter with the same verse that he starts it with, and I think it's to make a statement that because he's God. I might not understand it. I might not comprehend everything that God's doing in my life, but I know this for sure. He's God. He can do whatever he wants. I don't question God in the manner of disrespect, but in a manner of learning, of trying to understand. And so but I think it's very important that we understand that firstly we consider who we are and where we came from. Secondly, I think it's important that we understand who we are, what we are, how sinful we are, but that we thirdly understand who our God is. In Psalms 5:11, it says, But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. You know, we need to praise the Lord for who he is. Psalm 7:17, I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Psalm 8:1, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who hath set thy glory above the heavens. And then verse 9, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Psalm 9:2, I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. So, and I could go through the whole Bible and I could read verses that talk about praising the name of the Lord, how excellent the Lord's name is, and all this. But I don't think we need to go there because I'm pretty sure all of us know who, I think we know who God is. I think we can understand that God is worthy of praise and he's worthy of honor and the things he does in our lives. And it's important to realize who we serve. And I think a lot of times, even in my life, I'll get in a routine of, I'll read my Bible, I'll get up. So when I get ready for work, I have a routine. I get up at 12 p.m. I also work till 2 a.m. in the morning, just in case you're wondering, because I sleep in late. So I get up at 12 p.m., I get up, I eat my lunch, then 15 minutes before I go to work, I read my Bible, and then it takes about 20 minutes to get to work. And so oftentimes I'll get in a routine of just, I get up, I eat my food, kind of like a zombie or a robot. It just does a routine. And so sometimes when I'm reading my Bible, I'll just read it and I'll be like, okay, I'll choose verses to share with people, and then I just go about my day, and then the thought just passes. You know, and I don't consider, I don't meditate upon the Word of God like I should. And so I mean, I know I'm kind of sidetracking here, but I think it's important to not only consider the things God is doing, but I mean, there's so much to consider, and that's what's interesting about the verses. I don't want to say anything that's wrong, but God gave us everything we need to know in the Bible. Now, does that mean I'm going to know everything about God? I don't believe we can't. I mean, one day when we get to heaven, but I mean, who hath known the mind of Christ? We have been given the mind of Christ. This is what God wants us to know. What I'm trying to say is, I think that I'm just going to get off that, so I don't say anything that's wrong, because I don't want to get chewed out by pastor. But I think it's important, you know. And so I'm just going to end it. I'm going to end it with this. What makes us think that because we're saved and we're born again, that somehow we are better? Or if I could, the conclusion would be here. We need to realize who we are in order to properly reach the lost. Because if we forget what we are, if we don't consider the things properly that God has made and God is doing, and then we also don't consider who we are, and I think that's what the psalmist is doing here. He sees creation, and then he does like a mirror. He does a reflection. He says, you know, what makes God choose me? Why does God use me, King David, to do the things that God would have him do? I don't know if he was king yet. I don't think he was, but in this, I didn't do a whole history into the background like pastor does, as you notice. I'm pretty new at this. So, but as I get older, the Lord will mature me and he'll show me things. And I don't claim to be a good preacher. I just like being a blessing, and I get excited when the Lord shows me something. And when I was studying for this, for the first part of this, the first point of the sermon, I got really excited because I was like, that's really good. You know, we need to consider some things. We need to consider God and what God has done for us. So as I close tonight, as I use my 3 points, when I consider, we need to consider God, we consider what he's made, we need to consider what we are, and then we can properly make the statement, he's God. You know, he's how excellent is his name in all the earth. You know, his ways are past finding out, I believe, as it says later in Psalms. So, you know, I'm just going to close in prayer, and then we'll have, I know it's kind of short, but I ran out of material. I'm not just going to blab on, you know, because that's just a waste of time. So I'm going to close in prayer, and hopefully that was a blessing to you. Let's pray.